For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Cindy Burgess Gerson, what an amazing person. Jason, our gay son, Andrews.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
And our super-duper premium sponsor, Kelly Grant, the most gorgeous girl in Texas. We love you. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Bachelor podcast called Rose Pricks. I mean, Jesus, how many times do I need to say this shit that I still will mess it up? And here I am with my gorgeous, talented little sick coffee partner.
Oh.
Coffee and cough-y partner.
Coughing. Did you hear me cough just now?
Yeah, your little... Ben Mandelker. Ben Mandelker of the V-Side Vlog and the Bachelor Blender podcast. Hello, Bean.
Hi, everyone. I apologize in advance. I have a cough lozenge in my mouth. And I know that when people listen to podcasts, you hear everything and it's all in your ears. So I apologize if you hear that distinctive sound of a lozenge, you know, scurrying around my mouth. But I am fully sick. I've taken some Tylenol. I have a big tall tea here. I have some orange juice in the other room. I have some water nearby. I've already taken cough syrup. I am fully loaded. I am wearing my Watch What Crappens t-shirt because I'm hoping that maybe like it'll give me some moral support. And I'm just relying on Ronnie to cure me the rest of the way.
Good luck with that. I'm like the most toxic person in the world.
That was a laugh and a cough.
Maybe I can be like your antibiotic and be part of the disease that ends up killing the other disease, you know? Like kill fire with fire. Or what do you
like
say
the
that?
Good
fight
doctor.
Fire with fighter. Fight. Yeah. God damn it.
Fight fire with fighters. That's how you should do it. By the way, to our listeners who are up in Northern California, like stay strong. Oh, it's terrible. I mean, like every week we have another natural disaster. Unfortunately, maybe even a human disaster in the mix too, that we have to give like a shout out to our listeners. But we have a bunch of listeners in Northern California. I have some family up there too. So stay strong and hope you guys are safe.
Yeah, Jesus. It seems like every week there's something new.
Yeah, hurricanes, earthquakes,
the good
fires.
Thing is that also every week, Shannon has another reason to cry. Do I want to cry at this belly dancing party? No.
No. No. Wait, before we do Orange County, will you shill our San Francisco show?
Yeah, everybody, San Francisco's coming up November 4th at Social Hall. We are almost sold out. We've got like, I think, 20, 30 tickets left. So go get them. We have another few dates almost booked. So we are going to continue touring all over the place and meeting you guys and laughing together and drinking together and living together, darling.
Yes, we actually have a whole other city that's booked, but we're going to wait to announce it so that way it's announced with a bunch of other cities.
Yes, but San Fran's going to be a fantastic weekend, so go get your tickets if you haven't. And I think that's it. Let's get into OC, boo.
Yeah, let's talk about Orange County.
This episode is called Armenian Rhapsody.
That's such a great name.
Yeah, in Armenia.
I'm just a poor boy. I don't remember the lyric. Sorry,
I don't know about the money. When I was poor boy from poor family, it was the same. It was the same as like this.
Shut up,
Mama. I don't know what's the song. I don't know.
Mama.
Just kill the man. That's a joke in Armenia.
It was a Friday.
I don't want to live. Beelzebub. I can't remember. I'm just getting like fragments of the song. I can't remember any lyrics of course, one of the most famous songs of all time that we've all sung a million times. Is this the real life?
I'm just a poor boy.
Is this just fantasy? Is this just Dico?
Is this just Coco with ball in living room?
Is this just Coco with ball in house? No, Coco!
Ooh, 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 ooh. So, let's see. How do we open? We open
so
with...
It op-
boom! Yeah. Like
it opens with, like, it all of a sudden becomes like NPR, where there's no music. It's just lots of coffee shop sound effects. It's like, order up.
I'll have a latte, please.
It was bizarre.
That's my attempt to make coffee shop sounds with a keychain.
Yeah, it was bizarre because they're like, this is very serious. There will be no music. But they started it like they were going to do one of their awesome like remixes of random sounds.
Yeah.
It started with the espresso machine like drip, 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 drip. And then there was no music.
Latte, please.
Yeah. And then it was just Vicky's heels like click, 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 click. And man, if only that ruffled, that one shoulder ruffle clown spandex shit she was wearing made a sound, because it deserves
yes.
a sound of its own.
Well, it was silent, and yet it certainly had so much to say. It certainly made a statement in its silence.
She's like,
also,
we
should point olds. we should also point out that the producers, in deference or perhaps in reverence of this grave moment, they skipped the opening credits. They're like, all right, Tamara, I want to have a talk with you. And then it was like, boom. Oh, it just showed them holding their oranges. They didn't even bother with the opening lines. Like, oh, this is serious. We're going to Patch Coffee.
Yeah. It's second favorite only to the movie sound effect. Boom.
Yes.
This is my other favorite. Boom.
So it was like, yes, there was just like the tension hung in the air, like the many Edison bulbs that were humming quietly.
And a bunch of 20-year-olds doing their homework. And Vicky's just like clacking around like, well, hello, 20-year-olds. Well, hello, succulents. Look at these succulents.
She was wearing, her top was noteworthy, as you mentioned, because on one shoulder was just like a spaghetti strap. And on the other was like a full-on like figure skating flappy thing. It was like an asymmetric disaster.
This was definitely a show that highlights Vicky's fashion. I mean, every scene with Vicky this time was amazing. Now, Vicky does that thing that I hate when housewives say this. At one time, me and Tamara were like Thelma and Louise. They're dead, okay? They died.
Yeah.
That's
not a good comparison.
Well, okay?
Yeah.
Like, one got raped. They kept running from the law. They were like a poor waiter and an abused wife or something. They were not happy. Let's stop pretending Thelma and Louise was like this happy partnership where everything worked out great, okay? They're dead at the bottom of a canyon. And they wasted a perfectly good convertible, too. Like, fuck them.
And also, Brad Pitt is not having sex with Tamara or Vicky. Wait, did Brad? I never saw Thelma and Louise. Did Brad Pitt,
actually, that's
rape?
Not good. Yeah, I think that was the rape thing. So, yeah.
Oh, was Brad Pitt the rapist? Because in that case, I take it back.
Yeah, don't be making any rape jokes. Nene's already got the corner. She's already cornered the rape joke market this week.
All I know is Thelma and Louise is like the Brad Pitt breakout role. So we do get like, at least I'm glad that she said Thelma and Louise instead of Lucy and Ethel, because if there's anything more tired than Thelma and Louise, it's Lucy and Ethel.
Yes. If they were Lucy and Ethel, they'd be like that version of Lucy and Ethel that you want to drive off the cliff.
Like the chocolate factory gets shut down.
Yes.
<You know? laughs> we get the whole montage of Vicky and Tamara being friends.
Yeah, we've been through lots of ups and downs, and then we just saw crazy face after crazy face after crazy face. I mean, seeing how crazily these faces change from season to season, it was, it's like watching a snake shed its skin, you know, in those like fast motion videos, those time lapse videos.
That's cruel to the snake.
That's true. Let's see. She's sitting there waiting, and she's all awkward. And then we see Tamara drive up, and she's like, "I've got a little water bottle filled with a shake, bitch."
This is
the most dramatic scene with nothing dramatic happening.
Exactly. And Tamara's doing this whole thing, saying she just wants Vicky to apologize. I'm like, here's the problem. If you do really want to move forward, you can't go in with expectations of apologies. It should be expectations of let's try to be friends and be friendly, et cetera. And, you know, and then in the back of your head, you say, hopefully an apology will come. Or maybe you get to that like good that place where you're communicating and having fun with each other. And then you can be like, you know, I'm really sorry for what I did. And then, you know, but this walking in, hoping to have a an apology under the Edison bulb. It's not going to happen.
With the succulents on the table and the people doing homework around you. Not going
to
happen.
Exactly. Okay. And Vicky's expecting Tamara to walk in and just hug her. So they both have these ridiculous expectations.
Yeah,
that are never
Vicky's
come
like
true.
Putting a bib around her neck, waiting for a casserole. Like, it's not going to happen, okay? She's like, I just don't want to fight anymore, okay? It's like, okay, Tina Turner. Hey, you know what I want Tamara to do? Hug me, feed me, and put the hatchet down. Let's be kind. Rewind. There's a charge if you're not kind to rewind, okay?
So Tamara comes in, and she sits down in full bitch face. Like, she is not ready to have any sort of growth come from this. She just sits down. She goes, so what's up? I'm like,
long stare. Long stare. Vicky's like, do you not see me wearing my one-shoulder clad ruffle? I mean business, Tamara.
I've humiliated myself for you with this ridiculous outfit just that way you could feel better.
Look, I just want to get to a place where we can be kind. Be kind. Be kind. Stop the madness. Be kind. Be nice. Be nice. Stop the madness.
Tamara's like, batch, I am kind to you, batch.
In your mind, you're nice to me, but it's like this. And then she does that thing with her fingers where she's making crazy motions around her temple, but both of her fingers are going a different way. Like she's trying, like she'll never get a bike to work, you know? It never makes sense. And Tamara's like, what does that mean? She's like, no, like in your mind, it's like doing this. She's like, what are you going on a bike backwards? What are you doing, batch? Be kind. Be kind.
Just be kind. Be kind. Why can't you be good to me? Stop the Tina Turner references.
I don't want to fight no more.
We don't need another hero, Tamara.
I left a good job at the city, Tamara.
Tamara, I mean, like, what's love got to do with it, okay?
So Tamara's like, what have I ever done to you, batch? And she's like, I've tried to be nice to you, but you won't let me. You won't let me. And then the people doing their homework look over like, do we dare tell these girls to be quiet or these ladies to be quiet?
The judgmental 17-year-old barista is like, how dare she make that noise while I'm trying to do a pour over?
Yes. And Tamara does that abusive lifetime husband thing that she's been doing all season where she goes, calm down, Vicky. Not a good look.
Oh, my God.
Calm down, Vicky. Calm. Yeah. Hey, Vicky.
Well, this is.
Calm down.
Well, you know, that's like our least favorite thing is when someone like pokes a bear and then goes, calm down. Because basically, Vicky is trying to say her side of the story. She's saying, listen, you have been attacking my character. She's like, I own up to my thing, but you've been attacking my character. And then Tamara keeps interrupting her. And then Vicky's like, I'm trying to explain it, but you keep interrupting me. And that's when Tamara's like, calm down, Vicky.
And Vicky's like, look. I'm just sick of... And then she starts doing the weird bicycle thing around her temples again. She's like, look, you're getting people to say this, that, be beat. You're getting people to be beat. Which, Vicky, you've had like seasons to come up with this conversation at this terrible succulent coffee shop. And this is what you've got. And Tamara's like, wait, batch, you think I'm trying to get people to be mean to you, batch? You tried to break up my marriage. What has Eddie ever done to you?
Yeah. And then, they get to, I just want to say before we even get into this, what was I going to say? I don't know. Probably something stupid about
Tamara's
Tamara
ridiculous, about, so innocent. Like, she's not totally trying to
do
that.
Oh, you know what it was? It was like, this is already such a disaster of a conversation because they're just airing out their grievances. And that's not like we've seen this a million times on Housewives. So, I mean, remember Bethany and Ramona in at Dorinda's house? When you air it out, everyone just gets defensive and angry, you know? Like, this is just not how to move forward. So we just know this scene is going to be a disaster.
Well, and the problem with these two is that they're both right. Vicky is guilty of all that cancer shit. She is guilty of the gay stuff with Eddie. But Tamara is also guilty and totally trying to team people up to not shoot with Vicky. Like, she's doing it on camera. It's not like it's that big of a secret, you know?
Yeah, I kind of feel like Vicky has paid the price for this cancer scam. Because I've always maintained that I do think it has been more, it was more of a Brooks thing and that Vicky got roped into it. And Vicky went along and she has paid the price. Like, I think that people really hate her now and it's really damaged her public image as much as she had one. And she's been raked over the coals. And at this point, I think it's time to like move on because the truth is these women have all done horrible things to each other. And Vicky's thing, while really deplorable, is not that much more deplorable than some of the things that Tamara has done to a lot of different people. So at this point, it's like, okay, you have punished her. You have thrashed her. You know, I think it's time to move on because because I think he's actually kind of right. She's saying like I have come back. I have apologized, but like you guys act as if like it was just only me, and you guys have been pretty vicious to me too.
Yeah, but Vicky really she can never help herself. She can't help herself. Like
that's her problem
because she's like I haven't done anything to Eddie. I like Eddie. Tamara's like, then why? Why do you think I would marry someone who's bitch gay bitch? And Vicky's like, I don't know. Like, what do I know? Maybe to use you? I don't know. For a gym? Gym parking? A parking yeah, space at the Vicky... gym? A steam room? I don't know.
I don't know.
She's like, use me.
What's he have a gay committee?
Use me. That was his idea. I mean, that was my idea. I asked him to invest. I begged him to be part of it. It's like, okay.
Dude. I love how Tamara is getting mad about the gym angle. You know, because the funny thing is, though, Tamara is asking a rhetorical question, and Vicky is answering it sincerely, like, oh, well, maybe he used you because he wants something, you know, because he's gay. And it's like Vicky, don't answer. When she asks you, why, if he's gay, why would he marry me? Just step away. Walk back and be like, I don't know. Say, I don't know. I thought that's strange, too. And that's why I don't think that rumor has any, you know, maybe that rumor doesn't have any, you know, any legs, you know.
Yeah, but so good for like, you, too. Good for you, too. Gay marriage is legal now. Woohoo.
Yeah. Such as like, I don't know why I do that. You know, you can't understand gay people sometimes. You know, when you're in the class, you do strange things.
I don't understand butt sex either, you know?
I mean, so I don't understand sinning. Well, I mean, why would you have sex with a man? Why, like, two men can't have a baby? I don't get it. So, you know, there's no logic in what Eddie does.
I don't understand plays where suddenly people start singing things. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, I'm going to hate Oklahoma now? Oh, wait, actually, I do hate Oklahoma. Never mind.
I mean, I don't know. I don't. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe, why does he like having sex with Lady Gaga? It seems strange to me.
I want to go from boohoo to woohoo. Okay, can we do that? Can we just do that? She's like, no, bitch, my husband's gay. Okay, Tamara, you've made gay jokes about your husband, I think, already three times this season, and have since you started dating him. So
exactly. And I like her excuse saying, he doesn't even want to be in the gym business, bitch. I'm like, so you're saying he's doing things he doesn't want to do, keeping his real impulses inside. Got it.
So basically nothing gets solved except everyone's homework gets ruined in the coffee shop. And Vicky's like, be kind, rewind. She just keeps saying be kind, which is her new be nice. I don't know how she's evolved to be kind, but she says it 20 times. Well,
at least it gave Tamara an opportunity to have a soap dish caliber monologue or mini monologue. She goes, you know what, Vicky? You don't deserve my heart. You don't deserve my friendship. And you know what? It just dawned on me. You don't deserve me.
It just dawned on me.
Motto of Tamara's life.
Yeah, so she like marches out of there and the girls are like, oh my God, old lady fights. Are we safe? They're all under the table. Did you notice when they cut back to that table, all the girls were gone except one? They're like, fuck this. Chemistry is hard enough.
Starbucks.
And then Vicky just sits there alone. She's like, I did not just get walked out on. Look at this lovely giant leafed plant.
Does anyone need help with their physics homework? Yeah. How much mu does it take to move you out of this coffee shop?
Look at all these books. I just wanted to say congratulations to all the girls in here. You're going to get a job. I see it coming. All right. Well, somehow I failed. And then it's like sad garage band guitars. It's like, dun, 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 dun.
What is AP chemistry anyway? Is there BK chemistry? Like be kind chemistry?
BKC.
BKC. But then afterwards, I like Vicky. Vicky, of course, is feeling bad for herself. And she's like, what could I have done any differently? I'm like, about a million things. First of all, when she asks you about Eddie being gay, maybe try to show some contrition or like try to say, you know, that you're right. I shouldn't have said that. It's none of my business. And, you know, you guys have a wonderful marriage. So I shouldn't have repeated that. And I should have shot it down. That's what you could have done.
You know what? I just want to say that I respect Eddie, and like Eddie, I want to swallow my pride and say I'm sorry. Like, however you have to say it, just say you're sorry, okay? So she calls Steve, and Steve's like, hola, buenos tardes. And she's like, all right, give it up. Give it up, Mexican Steve Lopez. He's like, well, I'm still running for sheriff.
Yeah.
So basically, he gives dad advice, where he's like, well, you know, all you could do is talk about it, and them's the big guns. Gotta let it go. You gotta let it go because you brought out the big guns.
Well, poor Steve. I actually, you know, his advice has always been really good all season, but he is unfortunately getting bad input because she's making it sound like she sat Tamara down and was like, listen, I just want to be friends. Can we be two mature women? We have a lot of history. We love each other. Let's be kind. Let's rewind. Let's go back to the days of VHS and let's be friends again. But that's not how it went. But that's what Steve thinks happened. And he's like, well, you did the best you could. So, you know, batter up.
You brought out the big guns. And she's like, literally, my guns are down. I'm just sad now. I'm sad. I'm sad and gunless.
I'm done fighting. I'm just sad. My guns are down.
So then Tamara calls Eddie on her car phone, and he's like, hello? She's like, I just walked out of coffee. And he's like, yeah, because she's full of shit, bitch. She's like, yeah, bitch. He's like, come home, bitch. Let's not fucking home. It's like, yeah, bitch.
And then Steve's telling Vicky, he's like, you know, the problem is that Tamara, she just wants to win. It's not about making up. She just wants to win, which I think is correct. But I think it's a half, it like only paints half the picture because Vicky wants to win too. And they're both two competitive bitches and they both want to win and be the queen of this show. And until they realize that they're both basically ruining each other, they're never going to win because they're losers right
now. They're going to be doing lots of solo scenes crying to their Bluetooth speaker husband.
Because let me tell you something, the two people on this cast who have the least amount of story going on are Vicky and Tamara. And I would even argue that Tamara has less story going on than Vicky. I mean, well,
how
I don't really know what Vicky's story
you?
Is these days.
How
Vicky moved.
Dare you? Bull! Bull!
I mean, honestly, Tamara has not had a story in like 3 years.
Yeah, Tamara hasn't done anything in a long time, actually. Well,
she got baptized.
Was last year cancer or was cancer 2 years ago? Why do I feel
cancer was 2 seasons ago. Last year, she was working out. Her journey was she was in a fitness competition. I'm sorry, that's not a terribly compelling story, but it worked because the cast chemistry was so good. I hate to say it, but we were a little concerned that with Heather Dubrow left, it would knock things out of whack, and I think it has. I'm sorry. I've actually enjoyed this season more than a lot of people. People are saying, like, it's so terrible. People say it's terrible because it started off so strong and then it kind of petered off. But that being said, something is up with the season. It has, like, a different direction. The casting is wonky. I think, you know, Lydia has had her moments, but she has not been amazing. Megan, I mean, I don't know why she's back, to be honest. And Peggy, I'm actually enjoying Peggy, but it feels like we have a JV squad here. It feels like, I don't know if there's like a new director, new showrunner, new producers. It's just wonky this season. They need to get the shit back on track.
Well,
Kelly's being too nice also.
All these changes, thank you to the music people again, because now we get the volleyball. Boom, boom, do. So now we're at the Bayside restaurant. Silver Heels getting out of a car. And it's Peggy and Deco going to have a meal again. What the fuck? Do these people just go to dinner? That's all Peggy and Deco ever do. I'm sick of it. It's either Peggy making goddamn cookies in her kitchen while Coco like salivates all over the goddamn countertop. Or them sitting in a restaurant.
Coco, I'm sorry, Coco. I didn't mean it.
Well, they're at the Bayside restaurant to celebrate 22 years together, their anniversary. And Deco is reflecting on how things are different. He's like, could you imagine back then, you know, I could have hardly afford anything. Da, 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 da. He's like reflecting on how things were different.
22 years ago, we didn't have the luxury of dinner. I'm like, okay.
And Peggy's,
yes, you did.
Peggy's like, I was happy wherever we were. It doesn't matter to me.
I see no difference between no money and whatever is happening now. Do we have money now? Do we have money?
Do we have money? Can we afford this restaurant? Oh, yes, we can.
Now you have 5 terrible, ugly cars instead of whatever one you had before. And he's like, let's stick to what we've done for 22 years. What kind of wine you like, babe?
So then we have I would say the breakout star of this episode. It's a compressed lobster salad.
I love the compressed lobster salad, please.
What like, is this compressed lobster salad?
Oh, compressed salad. Oh. And the waitress is like, well, he is partly right. The lobster is compressed. She's like, oh, wait.
What is this compress? Why is the lobster compressed? Because he's going to eat it? Why? Tell it, cheer up, lobster. Stop being compressed.
I love Orange County's culinary innovations. We're putting a bunch of lobster in a mold and calling it compressed.
Cookie cutter lobster. So Peggy's like,
in Armenian culture, women are submissive, but I was too busy with school to be submissive.
Okay. And he's like, remember
Oh, the memories. Remember when I got you that car? And you said, it's more than the house.
Deco, all Deco wants to talk about is how much goddamn money he has. I'm sorry about your tiny penis, Deco, okay? Talk about something else, and preferably not over lunch somewhere where you're ordering, you know, lobster in cookie molds.
That's a shame because I really like Deco. I really like Deco and Peggy quite a bit, to be honest. I almost feel like they're almost a little too normal for this show. I mean, aside from the extravagant gifts and the black and white cars, they're like pretty functional. They're pretty even keeled. I think we're going to see later in this episode they have a kind of a rational approach to things. They just sort of don't quite fit in with these Looney Tunes.
They're just assholes about their money. Get the fuck out. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. I'm kind of getting tired of them. Although I do I do like imitating them badly. But also I do like to see somebody grow. Look how I'm taking back my entire opinion already. I'm such a flip-flopper. But I like watching people grow throughout a season. And Peggy actually said this. She goes, 22 years isn't always bliss. There are struggles. But you don't throw the towel in. I was like, whoa! You don't throw the towel in? Who the fuck taught you that? That's like the first saying you've ever used.
I know, and she should tell that to her iPhone next time it rings. No, don't commit suicide. Don't throw in the towel. You ring. Ring!
Don't throw in towel. Compress it. Compress.
Compress towel salad.
They're going to have a party for their 22-year anniversary.
Yeah.
It's like wacky clown music. And he's like, did you finalize the guest list? And she's like, nobody said no. Now she's worried that Eddie and David aren't comfortable with Vicky, unlike everybody else in the cast who's like so excited to see her. And he's like, well, we saw the fiasco at Kelly's house. And then she goes, imagine them there on one table. Just how Peggy thinks everybody fighting on top of a table at her party. And then
it transitions to them being like Peggy being annoyed at David for asking so many questions about cancer to Deco. So she's mad at David.
Disgusting. I know, get loud. Disgusting. And then Deco goes, no one knows what it feels like. What it feels like to maybe lose your wife when that guy says cancer cells 3 millimeter. Yes, people do know that, but I get it. Love you guys. Can't wait to your anniversary. It's going to be a laugh riot. Kelly, speaking of, Kelly's at home with her dad.
Frank.
In the kitchen. Frank.
They're hanging out.
Yeah. She's like, you use that steamer and I'll use this steamer and we'll have a steamer race. And he's like, all right.
And by steamer, I mean a Cleveland steamer, if you know what I'm saying. Heh. So then Bobby comes walking up the stairs and Kelly's like, hey, Ma, I told Dad he'll go with you. He can go with you to the senior center. And Bobby just stares like, how dare you? How dare you? She's like, I'm going by myself. Thank you very much.
Yeah, how about that, man? Kelly? I'm going to go by myself, Kelly. How about that?
Dingly earrings. Also, before the mom came up, Kelly's telling the dad, so are you still doing that stuff, like delivering boxes to poor people? And he goes, oh, yeah, you know, it's nice to do stuff like that for poor people. And she goes, yeah, it's like me trying to get mom to go to the senior center. It's like, no. Giving to the poor is not the same as trying to lock your mom into the senior center, Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. Poor Bobby. Poor sweet Bobby. The resident prairie dog of this
so
season.
Funny. So dad's so, yeah, in Bobby, trouble because he was talking to the brothers, his brothers in X-Law.
Yeah.
And it's like become this big problem. She's like, hey, how about this? How about you talk to your own family? Because they're Mac. He's a gossiper. You're gossiping. That's what you're doing.
He's like, fine, I won't talk to them then. If you don't want me to talk to them, but you know, we're family and it's family, and I want to talk to your brothers, and that's what it's going to be.
I said I'm sorry.
Really? 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 Really?
Well, then you can't touch my steamer. That's in a race against Kelly's steamer. How about that?
I know, we never found out which steamer won. What a ripoff.
I know. We'll have to find out. We'll text her. Be like, Kelly, we need to get to the bottom of the steamer issue.
We promise not to use this phone number for stalking or abuse, but please tell us what happened with the steamers.
So then we go to Lydia and Judy at a store, and they're like, sparkles!
Yeah, you want to just fast forward. Basically, they're rich now. Lydia's like, we were always rich, but now we're really rich because someone died. And the mom just keeps walking around going, oh, what's the damage going to be? What's the damage?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it is. But what I was surprised to hear was that Judy is actually 69. And I actually think she looks really great for 69.
Yeah. And of course, has to bring in some 69 jokes. And Lydia's like, which part of the Bible is that? No, stop talking about it.
You know what? Instead of talking about this scene, can we talk about HelloFresh? Because they're our sponsor for today.
Would that be
just totally offensive to people in the world?
That would be a mazting.
A mazting. Anyone who listens to this podcast knows that we love our HelloFresh, which is one of these soups convenient box things where the food comes to your door. And I'll tell you, being under the weather, there's nothing better than having food arrive at your doorstep. But actually, it's not like it's prepared. It's the ingredients, and you go and you cook it. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It revolutionized the way I made pork chops. I made burgers from their recipe, and I made them for my boo's family reunion, and they were a huge hit. This shit's good.
Yeah, it is really good. And all the girls in my little building have switched over to HelloFresh because, you know, I pass everybody going, crap is 30! Crap is 30, batch! To every single thing we use. And they love it. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient.
Yeah. You do another talking point while I get myself oriented on this document.
Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes, Kelly, with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone. From novices to seasoned home cooks short on time, even my ex can do it, and he's just a gossiper.
David, HelloFresh sources the freshest ingredients, measured to the exact quantities needed so there's no food waste. You hear that, David? No food waste, huh? Does that sound like someone who was raised with a silver spoon in her mouth? Damn it!
Anybody need a job? Because HelloFresh employs a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it is nutritionally balanced and kind. Be kind.
Listen, batch. HelloFresh delivers food to your doorstep in a recyclable, insulated box for free. And you can take that box and do step-ups on it, just as if you were at Cut Fitness yourself.
So just go to HelloFresh. And when you check out, use the code CRAPPINS30 for $30 off your first week of deliveries. That is promo code CRAPPINS30. Throw the towel in.
It is less than $10 a meal, which we have to mention. Because if you, again, CRAPPINS30 for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh.
Tico! Thank you, HelloFresh.
We love you.
We love.
We do.
So now is a bike pedaling close up. This show is so weird. It's like someone bike pedaling, and then it cuts back, and it's the same bike but a different person on it with different shoes. I don't know why that bugs me, but you guys keep consistent. I'm watching very closely here.
There was a glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. So we get back, and it's Kelly and her dad again, and he's. I don't know why they said this, but he's like, well, yeah, it's like the life of Riley. Yeah. Oh, the dog. It was about the dog, right?
The dog.
She's like, look at the dog. He's so cute. He's like, yeah, it's like the life of Riley. She's like, what? Yeah. What's that? It's like Riley never worked hard.
Yeah. And they're like reminiscing. He's like, hey, remember that time I went to the bathroom at ASU and I came out, I was like, ooh, I feel like I lost 5 pounds in there. And you said, I didn't know there were scales in the in the men's room.
And then they're just like, I
shat so much that day, everywhere. It was a big old spray on the walls, on the bowls.
Remember that time I came back from the bathroom, Cal, and I had just blown my nose and I said, hey, Cal, that got any bears in my cave? And you started screaming and said you were scared of bears.
Hey, Cal. Remember right before that moment I said, my nose is running, and you went out the door to go catch it? Cal, that was a great moment.
Hey, Cal, remember that time I said, God, I got gas? And you said, what are you, a car?
Remember that time I said you deserve a pat on the back and you looked to see if there was any butter back there?
Oh, dad jokes. He is like the perfect dad for dad jokes. And you're right. We see where Kelly gets it from.
Yeah.
So they talk about how sad life is and divorce and all that stuff. And then as Kelly tells us what a good dad he was, we get a shot of her when she was a cheerleader. God bless the 80s. She had like a cheerleading uniform with big ruffled shoulders. What the hell? It's like a pom-pom dress cheerleading. I think that was probably the 90s.
I hate to break it to you. I think it was probably the 90s. It's just that maybe, you know, 90s Phoenix is like 80s everywhere else. So then we go, now everyone's has climbed into various SUVs and they're all headed to the anniversary party, the big Deco Peggy anniversary party. And like every car, someone's having a fun time. It's like, woohoo! And like Tamara and Shannon are in one car and Kelly passes them and like, ah, yeah! And then they cut to like Lydia and Doug's car and it's like, this should be fun.
Dum, dum, dum. And Doug's just sitting there with his terrible faux hawk. She's like, will it be fun? He's like, well, it's about Deco and Peggy.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys are a real party.
Yeah. And then they're in the limo with Peggy's family. They're talking about how Deco, when Gio was a little baby, Deco used to always kiss her little butt after they'd wash her. And Coco's like, did you do that to me? It's like, Coco, no questions in limo, Coco.
I kissed your feet, huh? Look, I'm wearing my sunglasses on my forehead.
Forehead, Coco.
Coco.
Quiet, Coco.
We want to both enjoy 22 with beautiful friends. I want them to know our culture. Hookah, Armenian cuisine. Belly dancer.
So Armenian. Everything you said is only Armenian. Hookahs, belly dancers, food. She's like, we are going to have dinner. Like a true Armenian would. So they get to the place and Squiggy is their like restaurant host or whatever. He's like, welcome! He's like a little mini Danny DeVito Deco. Yeah. And Maggie's like, we have belly dancer? Is she cute, this belly dancer? She's not fat, right? Damn, Peggy.
Yeah.
Do you know how much of the internet Peggy pisses off by hardly saying anything?
A lot of the internet.
And how are you going to fat shame a belly dancers? Belly dancers are by right kind of chunky. I grew up with belly dancers. It's the first time I ever cried out of terror at a birthday party was when they had a fucking belly dancer there. I was terrified. My mom.
But you know. Yeah. Sorry.
No, they still tell stories. Like, they've never heard me scream that loud. I was like, no! No!
But to be fair, if they got like a fat belly dancer, who'd be the first people to be like, what was up with that fat belly dancer? It'd be us, okay? So Peggy knows who's out there. She's like, listen, two queens on radio want to make fun of belly dancer. Make sure she's skinny.
Never. So Peggy's like,
Coco, what Coco. You think?
He's like, about what?
You know, this idea. You take Auntie Vicky hand, and then you take Auntie Tamara hand, and then you make them kiss
for my birthday, Coco.
He's like,
but I don't want to be turned into stone.
I don't want them to put me in the oven and cook me. Cancel and Gretel.
I don't want to evaporate into a pillar of salt.
Coco and Gretel. Evaporate into a pillar of salt. I like that you got some biblical shit in there.
Well, I'm just, it was biblical and mythical because I went stone and then I went salt. Yeah. I just imagine that like Tamara and Vicky kissing the same child at the same time will cause some sort of rift in the universe and poor Coco will bear the brunt of it. He's just going to evaporate and go into the upside down.
Scott Bakula appears. It's like quantum leap. Like, whoa, they found the fold. It. They found the fold. So she's like, do it.
I would feel so bad if Scott Bakula showed up in Quantum Leap and looked himself in the mirror and saw himself as Tamara. You got to fix this batch.
Be nice. Be kind. Be kind. So Peggy's like,
do it, Coco. I give you $1.
And he goes, I want $1,000. She goes, it's all the same to me. I don't know this money. Not Peggy. Yeah. So she's like, no one can say no to Coco unless it is me. And he is holding ball. And he's in the living room.
No ball in anniversary party, Coco.
So everybody starts to arrive, and
Megan shows up with like a basket of spa stuff. She's like, "Here, I got you shampoos and lotions."
Yeah, she stole the the basket from the hotel, you know, that they leave out with like the little tiny coffee machine. little tiny creamer.
Like, yes. Here. It's from Jim's travel to St. Louis.
Whoa, look at that necklace. FF. Yeah. So yeah, everyone see. Shannon's all, like, wow, congratulations. Wow, here I am. So happy to be here. This is just wow. Shannon's really trying hard to just be as happy as possible.
Yeah, exactly. She, you know, she's already feeling self-conscious about the fact that she and Tamara and was it Megan or Kelly, they're all wearing gray sparkly dresses like figure skaters. My second figure skating reference this episode, but I can't help it if figure skating fashion has taken over Orange County.
It all started with this week's Shaz, and it will never end.
Yeah, exactly.
And Tamara's like, yeah, it's hilarious, Bats. We all have sparkles, Bats, but your Bats, they didn't get theirs for 50 Batch Bucks. Like, okay, yeah,
what does she mean by that? Did she get hers on sale?
Yeah, she's saying, like, I'm the poor one who's down to earth. They're just, like, crazy and rich. So, drama music as Vicky stumbles in a skin-tight green dress with a cutout in the back, the shape of a teardrop. Because I mean, Vicky's sad. Be kind. Be nice. And look, my back is crying. What big tear?
It looked like... She looked like just like a giant shamrock shake. Just like this big green. Either that or she's skin Gumby. Yeah, I found this animal and I skinned it. He was all sad. He had a funky friend.
She's facing her tear to people.
Began to Gumby.
I mean, it was bad. And that flesh tone cutout shit. If you're going to put a flesh toned polyester or whatever that's not even the same color as you, please just stop doing that. Everybody, just stop. If you can't use your flesh as your flesh, just stop. Just cover it up.
You know what, Vicky? Here's when you know you've aligned with the wrong gaze. When you've now had two horrific ensembles in the same episode, you are clearly with the wrong gaze. Yeah. Okay. First, there's that faux hawk guy who was being like, Eddie, my friend's blue, Eddie, at the gym. And now you're wearing these crazy-ass dresses and tops and whatever. You have to fix your gaze. You have to fix your gaze.
Yeah, start at home. Start at the gaze. Step one.
Yeah, yeah.
So Shannon sees her and just starts sipping very dramatically. And her and Tamara just keep looking around like, oh, anybody else see? Vicky, wow, look there. It's Vicky. Not that I care. Do I care that Vicky's here?
No. Yeah, so they immediately... Shannon and Tamara immediately bolt to outside to the hookah. And because, you know, no one, like, truly no one will film with Vicky at this point. So they're outside and Kelly comes out to join them. And she's like, ha, it was 420 yesterday. And Shannon's like, huh, 420? What is, David, what does 420 mean? What is it? 420? April 20th?
Huh? What the heck is 420? Tamara's like, ah, Snoop Dogg. Who's that? What is that, a dog? Archie, no,
420 negative thoughts about Archie and David.
Archie,
and
do you know this dog named Snoop? Is that Snoopy? 420, and she's the one who's like, light it like a bong, because Tamara, in all of her excitement to escape Vicky and not shoot with Vicky, she's like, look, we're gonna watch how I can run a scene. How do you work a hookah, bitch? Like, yeah, just make this end, please. How do we do it? I don't get it. Can't.
Yeah, so Deco, at this point, I think Deco sticks Coco with Vicky because he's gonna go outside. He's like, yeah, he's Coco, go speak to crazy lady. So Vicky, like, grabs Coco by the shoulders. This is like one of those crazy Woody Allen moments from Radio Days or something. She grabs Coco by the shoulders, is like, Coco, there are two girls in here who don't like me, but I don't care anymore. I don't, because I'm happy and I let it go. Okay, Coco, I just let it go. And Coco's like,
Coco, do I care, Coco? No, I don't care, Coco. Guess who's that guy? Those girls. But you know what? Guess who doesn't care? Say it. I don't know. Me, Vicky. That's who. Vicky's got a job. Say it. Vicky's got a job. I don't care. It's a tear on my back. Get it? Ah! And she, like, flips her hair. It's like, please, like, free Coco, please.
Coco's just like, I'll never do Ballin' House again. No Ballin' House. I'm sorry, let me go.
You failed, Coco.
Coco, when you play Ballin' House, the Vicky monster will come and grab you by shoulders.
No! So Peggy's like, hello, everybody. Speech. Ding, ding. Well, ding, ding, ding.
Is this when everyone starts to sit down at the tables?
Yeah, she goes, hello, everybody. You are here for me. Sit down.
Yeah. So everyone starts sitting down, and Shannon's already seated at a table, and Lydia's sort of figuring out where she's going to sit, and Shannon's like,
how? Lydia, come on. Come here. You want to sit here? You want to sit here? No? No? Oh, who? Oh, well, Lydia's sitting over there. I guess maybe that's a cooler table than over here. I guess maybe that's why she's going to live there because, David, Lydia's over there.
Well, didn't they take Kelly, too? They're like, come over here, Kelly. Why don't you sit over here at this table?
Well, first, though, she was all ruffled by the fact that Lydia didn't sit with them. She's like, huh?
Am I happy that Lydia wants to sit over there?
No.
I see where I stand with her. That's okay. It's not going to hurt my time because I'm having such a fun time because I'm so happy.
Now I'll get Lydia. Kelly.
Armenia.
Now who's winning? So Kelly sits over there and Vicky's like, ugh, it's a power struggle. So mature. So childish. Where's that child? Bring him over here. Let's talk about how childish it is. Come here. Come here, little cuckoo. Cuckoo. I don't care. Come here. Splatter off my back. Do I care? I don't care, Coco. Okay, be nice. Go tell those girls to be nice.
Help me.
So then Kelly sits down there with Tamara and Shannon. And it was definitely like they were gathering troops. I mean, Vicky called it. Vicky was right. I mean, she's like, well, they're basically mean girls over there. Okay, I get it. So then I love Peggy starts going around from table to table and it's like introducing everyone to various Middle Eastern foods. She goes like, this here is tabbouleh. And Kelly goes, oh, it's tabbouleh.
Yeah, because she doesn't pronounce them right. She's like, this is Armenian food. For example, tabbouleh. Well, this is baba ganoush. Okay.
Well,
Kelly's
tabbouleh. Tabbouleh.
Kelly's baba like heckling. Ganoush. Kelly's heckling the birthday girl. So that's not how you say it. It's tabbouleh. Hey, did I ever tell you guys the one about bathroom scales?
So meanwhile, Vicky is totally stuck with Lydia and Doug having the most boring conversation ever. I don't even remember what they were talking about. I just remember thinking to myself, this sucks for Vicky. She is the original. She is the OG of OC. And she's stuck at the table listening to Doug say things like, well, you know, the thing is, if you wear a bow tie, you can have a clip on or you can tie it yourself. Read about all of that in Nobleman magazine.
Our presence is our present. Chapter 13 of Nobleman magazine. And then the belly dancer comes
back.
So the belly dancer comes out and Tico's like, you like that, huh? And then Lydia, of course, has to find a reason to get offended at everything because she's more Christian than everybody who ever walked the earth. And she's like, is Tico giving money to her like she's a stripper? Is that custom? Where's their sign?
Yeah. They cut to Coco just staring, his eyes open, a huge smile on his face. Like, his life is blooming in front of him.
It's like a little picture of baby Ronnie the first time he saw a White Castle. It's just like sparkly eyes, something in the distance. So Shannon's like, whoa! What are you singing, Coco? Look, I'm going to comb my hair with this fork, Coco.
No. I'm too sick. Don't make me do this. Don't make me laugh so hard at Coco doing Ariel. I can't.
Out of her world!
It's like Coco trying to be the Little Mermaid, but Vicky just holding him underwater. Like, no, you're not leaving me, Little Mermaid. Get back down here. I'm not going to be left on this seashell table alone. Get back here.
Okay, Coco, if you want to talk to Belly Dancer, I need to take something from you. Okay, you know what I'm going to take? I'm going to take your ball.
No, take my voice.
No, your ball. No ball in house, Coco.
Please
even
take
I know
my
that.
Legs. No, I'm not taking your legs. I'm taking your ball.
Coco washes up on shore.
I'm cursed. I can talk. I have legs. But I don't have my ball.
Like, it seems like you're pretty okay, Coco.
No! I need my ball!
Kiss the Coco. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Poor unfortunate Coco. You poor unfortunate ball.
In pain.
They're eels swirling around Coco's ball. It's like Shannon and Tamara, the eels swimming around the ball.
Oh my God. Well, Shannon is still convinced to show everybody that she's having a great, great time. So she goes up to the belly dancer and she's like, whoa. Well, I'm not doing the belly. I don't do that belly part. She starts dancing. And then Tamara's like, I'm fun too. Make it rain. And Kelly's just ignoring them and eating. This is like the third week in a row. Kelly's just ignoring everything and actually enjoying her food, which is very rare on a Housewives show.
Yeah,
so you go, girl.
Someone should remind Kelly to go off her meds because it's way more fun when she's crazy. She's like, oh, look, asparagus. Do you know they call this tabbouleh?
Tabbouleh.
Tabbouleh. Oh, shut up, stupid. So Peggy joins, and then Peggy is like really good at this dancing. I just wrote, now we see how she paid for college, because damn, oh. Peggy.
Well, then Peggy does a speech. She's like sitting on Deco's lap. She has a martini glass, and she's like threatening to drop it. And he's like, come on, babe, this isn't a Greek restaurant. She goes, let it be Greek. And she just drops her martini glass. She really does. She really does push back at everything he says.
Yeah,
babe, this is the Greek restaurant, babe.
Let it be
it
Greek.
It's Greek now. Where's my gyro?
Where is my gyro?
It's not pronounced gyro. It's pronounced hero, babe.
Where is my gyro, Deco?
No, babe.
Deco, Coco, get me gyro.
Wait a minute.
Coco, this is a ball.
So she tries to give a speech. This is the first time we've seen Peggy drunk.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. She's just like 100 times the asshole. And I can see why she doesn't drink that much, because she really is an ass drunk. She's just throwing glasses on the ground. And Tamara's like, that is amazing. 22 years, especially in the OC, with all my three bitches, haven't added up to 22 years, bitch. I haven't even had a face for 22 years.
Peggy did a really great job in making her entire cast spiral, because they're all were like, wow, 22 years, huh, wonder what that's like, huh.
And then all crying into their hummus. Of course, he's like, I am so lucky to symbolize it. I got lots of diamonds. I got me a car, her a car, we own a new house, we're going on a trip. Anybody been on a private plane? There's one on the ceiling right now. Like, okay, Deco. It's like Deco's just jerking off with his money all over. And of course,
two Ferraris last year, this year, two matching rose gold something watches.
It's rose gold something watches. Yeah, he gets her, they get these big chunky watches. And he's like, oh, I almost forgot. $150,000 necklace. So then, and then, of course, like Megan's like, I want one too.
She's like, that is ostentatious.
But I want one. And then Shannon in the corner's like, huh. Well, two Christmases ago, I got a bread maker and a pan.
And Kelly goes, I didn't get anything for my 10th. Like, okay, wow, you two are really bringing the party up.
But I like Kelly's like,
we're rich. Okay, everybody, we're all going to split the tab. Okay? Like, separate checks.
So the party's going well. So Deco's like, hey, Shannon, let me pull you aside. I need to talk about something really quickly. You know, because the producers were like, hey, you should probably talk to Shannon. He's like, okay. So her face... They sit down outside, and her face is already in panic mode. You know where she's in the, like, she's already doing an owl impersonation, like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Yes. Her eyes are open.
I wrote down ooh face, because she's doing that, ooh. Like, she's just going, ooh.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
And her eyes are really wide, like she's waiting to see what she's won.
Yeah, she can't tell if she's won something or she has to, or she owes something. So Deco's basically like, you know, Shannon, the other night, David was sort of interrogated, sort of questioning me, like, was the cancer or no cancer, was a lot of cancer, little cancer, and I just want to clear the air because, I don't know, it's weird, I don't want you, like, you know, I thought it was weird, and my big mouth, I told Peggy, and then she felt sort of weird about it, and I didn't want to come back to you and become a thing, so I just want to tell you, like, I'm sorry, like, you know, and... I'm like, good luck talking to Shannon and having it not become a thing.
Grave miscalculation. Her face, she's still making ooh face, but her eyes are already welling up with tears, and she's looking around like, oh. She's just looking around for someone to save her. So, of course, is this where Tamara comes out? So Tamara comes out slowly.
One by one, people start coming out. You know, because it's I think I've mentioned this before in some past episode. Whenever there is an issue like this on a Housewives show, people just pop up. Like in a Simpsons scene, whenever there's like a fight on the Simpsons, you'll notice that like two people will be fighting and then all of a sudden these little animated characters appear in the background one after the other. And that's what happens on these shows. They just don't like hear.
But Tamara's the worst because she's like, it's just deep because I just came out to smoke a hookah. Shut up.
So, Deco, so as more and more people come in and the moment like what he's trying to say gets convoluted, he literally stands up and he gets into Shannon's ear and he goes, he literally says, I just want to apologize to you for misreading David. And I'm like, this is one of the nicest things that anyone has ever done on The Housewives.
Well, he's basically saying, he's confronting her, but he's also like, oh shit, now I'm being a housewife because my wife won't do this fucking job. And now they're all going to come yell at me. He's like trying to apologize while he confronts her. But it's like, it's almost like telling a baby, baby, you can't just throw your food from the high chair. And they're like, okay. I love you. I love how you eat your food. Good boy eating your food. Good boy. Like, shove some candy in their mouth.
I thought Deco was actually really nice in the way he was approaching. He's like, no, you're awesome. David's awesome. But when he was questioning me, I felt a certain sort of way. And I said something to Peggy, and I think I created a situation. And so I'm just saying, I'm sorry, because I think I misread it. And, you know, I'm sorry in advance. But Chan was like,
I'm not David. I'm not David.
Hey, you should take a page out of David's book and don't talk to the wife. Talk to David. How dare you, sir? Did you hear my bread maker story? Did you?
I got a bread maker and a pan, and guess what I did not get? A face that looks like David. Talk to him.
So she's trying not to cry, you know, and he's like,
yes. I just wanted to say I'm sorry. He's like, well, this is not nice of you, but that is not necessary. Okay?
40 to 50 negative thoughts about Deco right now. 40 to 50 negative thoughts.
So she goes in to talk to Peggy, and she's like,
Peggy, I'm trying to understand, because Deco was saying something that there's like an issue between us, and I don't know what the issue is, and you know, it seems like it's an issue between David and Deco, and
Peggy's like, oh, no, don't worry. No, it's fine. Like, it's fine. It just, you know, it's weird that David asks so many questions, but, you know, it's weird, you know, but it's Peggy's fine. You know, it's like a little inappropriate, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, she's slayed in this part, because Shanna's just trying to get an emotional response.
Oh, I don't want to make a big deal. I'm just holding my jacket, and I'm going to leave quietly while I stomp out and glitter.
And Peggy's like, no, this came up? Oh, you know, Deco, he likes to clear the air, which is why we have 10 cars. Oh, you brought it up because it hurts. Like, I was hurt. I was hurt? Oh, I was hurt.
But don't worry. It's fun time.
I think Peggy handled it also quite gracefully. She's basically saying, yeah, it kind of hurt me, but, like, don't worry about it. It's like, I think she was kind of saying, it hurt me, but if it was a big enough deal, I probably would have said something.
Well, they keep throwing it back to each other, like Deco and Peggy, because she goes, dude, you know, there was questions, and then there was questions, hurt questions, questions and hearts. It's like she's just repeating the same thing, and then she goes, the thing is, I felt for Deco. That is the one I felt for. And Shannon's like, oh, well, okay. Well, I'm sorry then. I'm sorry. And she goes, no. It wasn't right under the circumstances, but okay. She's
like, well, thank you. God,
Shannon puts on this big, fake smile. Like, she wants to cry. And she just has this smile. Like, I don't know if the smile is saying, I hate you or I want to cry. But she's like, all right, well, thank you for having me. It was a wonderful time. I'm glad I had the opportunity to be humiliated in front of you wearing a dress that two other women were wearing. I'm so glad about that. Bye. And then she goes to the car where Tamara's sitting, and she's like,
I'm in shock right now. Shock.
Absolute shock.
She's crying, and Tamara's like, what now, Shannon?
She's like, I don't know what he brought up to me. It was a David issue. Like, speak to David about it. And it's funny because Shannon starts talking about how she doesn't want to be involved in a cancer mess anymore. She doesn't want to be. And then they do a flashback. The producers do a flashback of her and Vicky, of her asking Vicky about the cancer thing. And the funny thing is, I don't know if you caught this, but Vicky was like, I don't know. Call Brooks. I'm done. I don't know. Which was kind of the producer's way of saying, well, Shannon kind of did the same thing to Vicky. You know, she had an issue with, Chana had an issue with Brooks, and she was sort of doing the same thing, you know.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, then she, well, she did confront them together at dinner when she was like, oh, I don't want to talk about this at Brooks's dinner. Well, but I have to say, nope, I don't want to talk about fake cancer. Nope, God damn it. That was our first big fight, remember?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's weird because on the one hand, I actually sort of agree with Shannon. You know, Deco probably should have talked about it with David, but Deco at the same time knows that Shannon is the one who's going to misinterpret all. It's going to get back to Shannon and she's going to misinterpret it. So he's like, I'm just going to go directly to the source. Either way, he probably just shouldn't have said anything at the moment.
Yeah, Deco needs to stay in his goddamn husband lane, okay? He's obnoxious. But Shannon, you know, does deserve what she gets in this. And she always is such a victim about everything. She said in this one, she goes, well, I've already been through one cancer ordeal. I hope she's healthy, but I'm not getting involved. Shannon, it was like last week or the week before that you announced to the whole table, I am just so torn. Because Peggy at lunch told me she had cancer, and then she did it. Like, you can't have it both ways, you know?
Yeah.
Like, part of me sees where Shannon's coming from, because she does show up to these events like, well, hello, with a huge smile. And it's almost like she's trying to go in positive and start new every time. But then at the same time, you're giving Vicky looks, trying not to talk to her, trying to make everyone not shoot with her. It's like, you can't have it both ways, you know? Like, congratulations for smiling for the first 5 minutes, but you can't be a cut fitness the rest of the time and not expect to ever get called on anything ever, you know?
Well, the recurring theme between Tamara, Shannon, and Vicky is that these are three women who can't help each other. Can't help themselves, I should say. They can't help but get in the way of themselves, which is actually why we tune in. It's one of the reasons why the show has been so strong for the past few seasons. And I think that, you know, Peggy's entertaining. I think Lydia and Megan are doing nothing. And Kelly's been too tame this season. And what we need is we need more people to sort of stir up these three women. Because right now, it's like, you know what it is? It's like oil and vinegar. And we need someone to shake up the little mason jar. Okay,
so we get a lovely vinegar.
Yeah, that's right. It's oil and vinegar.
Yeah, I don't think it all needs to be recast. I just think they need to film with each other. You've already got the good people. I mean, get rid of, you know, maybe the newbies, which I don't mean to be mean to them, because it is kind of like their first season all over again in a way. But just, like, it's better if they just all film together. Like, when you're having to bring Deco in
to do saying recast the whole thing, but sometimes just changing one person, Vicky and Tamara,
they're all so much themselves. They're never going to change. They're always going to get in their own way. And that's what makes them good housewives. You know, they just have to do it together.
Yeah. I think that Megan is just, you know, she's like become a lost cause. She was so good at one point, but she's just become too dull. And I think Lydia, I mean, when Lydia gets bitchy, she's really great, but she's just been too much on the fringes. There just needs to be an X factor, someone in there that mixes it up. And unfortunately, that's what Heather Dubrow may have been. And
I cannot let myself wish Heather was back, because this is not to me, this season isn't failing because of a lack of Heather. Fuck that girl. It's because these people won't shoot together.
I know, but I'm saying that maybe Heather Dubrow, I don't know. Heather Dubrow may have been the sort of person that would have jumped on the let's not film the Vicky thing, but I don't know.
It was her, Tamara, and Shannon, and they were doing everything they could to like keep Vicky out of every little
thing. But I actually think that, believe it or not, I think that Heather Dubrow, here, it's weird. I'm not saying, oh my God, I love Heather Dubrow, I want her back. I'm saying that she could have been that, maybe she is that ingredient that makes that perfect chemistry with this group. Like, you know, Heather, about her, I think that she's actually a very smart person. And I think that she, if producers say, listen, you know, we know you don't like Vicky, but we have a show to make here. Heather is ultimately a performer.
Well, look, and nobody loves sodium nitrate, but you have to have it to eat bacon. Okay. That's kind of Heather. Heather is sodium nitrate.
I think Heather would have sort of, I don't know. The only reason why I say this is because she was the thing that was eliminated from last season, and now look where we are. So,
well, sometimes it's eliminating, and sometimes it's just adding, you know, raisins to peanut butter cookie.
Yeah, we just have to. I don't know. We've got to find some way to get this chemistry just right. I still think this show is really fun, and it's better than a lot of people are giving it credit for. But you know, it's frustrating to watch, especially compared to something like Dallas, which has been so amazing. And it's not like Dallas has had these crazy knockdown, drag-out fights, but the cast chemistry is really there. Like, there's, like, and when I say chemistry, not that they're all getting along, it's just that they're all reacting really well on camera. It's, like, engaging and fun.
Well, they, even the ones that hate each other, they'll just fight it out, and, you know, that's what you want to see. They're not, like, trying to have their own private scenes without anybody else.
Yeah.
But anyway, that said, that's the end of Real Housewives of Orange County. We will be back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of Dallas. And please don't forget to go buy your tickets for San Fran, for all of our live shows and upcoming dates, etc. Go over to watchwhatcrappens.com. And thanks to HelloFresh for sponsoring this episode. And thanks to all you for listening to it. Also, Patreon. Thank you, everybody on Patreon. That's where you can get our bonus episodes and all that good stuff. This week, we talked about Ben's trip and some airline complaints and stuff like that. Some barbecue. That's our small-time friend catch-up chatting. So if you want those, go to patreon.com.
Can we give a shout-out to our super premium sponsor, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster?
The Grantmaster!
She's not just a premium sponsor. She's a super premium sponsor.
And we love you, girl.
And she's got a really cute husband.
Yeah, hot bear.
Hot bear. He's a big old hot bear.
He's like a 7-foot-tall Eagle. Texas bear.
Yeah, and he's really nice too. And on top of that, he's like straight, and like she dragged him to our LA show, and he was cool. Cool as a cucumber.
We love you, Grant. Everybody, thanks so much for being with us. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.